Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time again, another episode of Sports Card Live. We take a magnifying glass to the sports card industry. News, reviews, thoughts, the occasional tangents, and free stuff. Hosted by Dan Rage, Ryan, and Doug Fresh. Boom!
Am I going to remember how to do this? Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to another edition of Sports Card Live. Aloha. It's been a couple weeks. We're back at you with a lot to talk about. One of the biggest releases ever last week with Flawless. We're going to give you some opinions on the crack cocaine release that was Flawless. We're also going to talk about a little triple thread, prime football, hoops jumbo, Panini case breaker agreements. All kinds of stuff going down this show. I don't know if we're going to fit it in 2 hours, but we're going to try our best. All kinds of stuff going on. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a while. But, yeah, I'm ready to go. What's going down, Ryan?
Not much. I'm ready to talk about cards, too. It does feel like it's been a little while, that's for sure.
Now, I'm just going to be a blabbering idiot for the rest of the show because I don't even know where to go with this. There's just so much that's like swirling around in my brain. I just want to let it out on you guys, and you know it's going to be no rhyme or reason, so we're going to be on a bunch of tangents tonight, but it's going to be a great show. 2 weeks you guys had to wait for us to hear our great voices, and Trevor wants to hear Dan sing again. I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, Dan's been practicing some Aguilera. I think he's working on some more songs, Genie in a Bottle. I mean, I think he's been hit up the studio on that, Trevor, so we'll see. Maybe we can get him to sing.
Well, maybe we can do another bet. Maybe we can do a basketball bet. Because I think the Lakers are playing the Warriors tomorrow.
Oh, easy now. Oh, wow. I mean, I'm not setting myself up just to sing for. Colby's hurt. I mean, come on. That's rough.
Come on. Lakers look strong. Well, I don't know. That's going to be a... We'll see. It's going to be an interesting...
Last year, so I am a Warriors fan, but for the right kind of bet, maybe I'll be a Lakers fan. Who knows?
We'll let the show go. We'll see what happens. I think if I was to make a bet with Ryan, I'd probably have to give him some points on that because I think the Warriors may be favored.
Yeah, that game might be over in the first 5 minutes. Like a couple threes by Curry and Klay Thompson, and that game's over like just really quick.
What's going down in Lakers camp? Are they is it a rebuilding year? I know there's no Kobe. Are they?
It's probably all hinges on if and when Kobe comes back. I would actually like to see them shoot for a high draft pick and tank in a sense because the draft class is supposed to be really good this year, and we actually have our first round pick, I believe, which is rare actually for us to even have our first round pick. So, I'd like to see us end up in the lottery, but I don't think people paying a lot of money for season tickets and television rights want to see them in the lottery, that's for sure.
Man, when's the last time the Lakers had a lottery pick?
Bynum, I think. I think it was Bynum.
Bynum? Damn.
Lottery pick, yeah. So it's been a long time.
It's been a while. And that didn't really work out. That didn't really work out too well. Where is Bynum now? Bynum's like...
He's in Cleveland.
He was in Philadelphia last year and he didn't even play, right?
Right, and he didn't play the entire season, right? So we'll see. Apparently he's looking good, but, you know, he's just, I think, has chronically bad knees, which is unfortunate because he could have been very good. But when you're that big, man, it's hard not to get hurt, to be honest. I mean, if you think about it, being that tall, I mean, that's rough.
Yeah. You got to look at Bogut too, and the Warriors just paid Bogut that long money to stay there, so he got like a 3-year extension.
Woo, have fun with that.
Yeah, so we'll see. hopefully the Warriors are going to put it together. I think they're going to be a top three or four team in that conference, but we'll see. Curry has to stay. Curry has to stay healthy, and Bogut has to stay healthy. But those guys stay healthy, I think the Warriors have a chance.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they have a great team, actually. Really, really good team. With Iguodala coming in now.
Yeah.
That's a guy who can, defend and take some pressure off of some of their perimeter players who aren't very good defenders, Thompson and Curry.
Yeah.
So you bring a guy like Iguodala in, that's going to be fantastic. And Barnes is an emerging player as well, so I guess he's going to be coming off the bench. So that's a very dangerous team. Like you said, if they're healthy at the right time at the end of the season, they almost knocked, they gave San Antonio a good run there in the playoffs. So they're a very dangerous team. I could definitely see them making the NBA Finals easily. I could see them in the NBA Finals if they're healthy.
I think what they did is they went out and they got depth now. I mean, they got you got Jermaine O'Neal on the Warriors, old-timey Jermaine O'Neal. I think he's 17 years in the league, but he's going to be backing up, probably Bogut. And then they got Spates. They signed Spates. So they got Tony Douglas, whose brother is Harry Douglas. I think we went over that last time we were on the show.
Nice. It's a good name.
Harry Doug?
No, just Douglas. It's a good name. I like Douglas.
I'll be a Doug.
But, I think it's a perfect segue to get into some crack cocaine. Flawless basketball. You like the pause right there, right? Because I get it. This show is going to be about crack cocaine. These listeners are like, what are we getting into here? Are we going to actually talk about some drugs, some bitcoins, or what are we doing now? No, flawless basketball, unless you've been under a rock or maybe you've been in Hawaii, flawless drop, and everybody is going absolutely insane with it. I mean, it's going crazy. eBay's lighting up. Cards are selling for more than they should on some of them, but, that's a good thing overall. You had the luxury of breaking the first three cases that we did on Friday. I mean, I watched a little bit until I got the stink eye from the wife. I was trying to watch, and then I was like, you know what, maybe I'll head to the IA. I got to go to the restroom to watch the rest of this flawless break. I didn't tell her flawless. I said I had to go to the restroom. So I was watching it, and I was like, man, these cards are beautiful. I mean, it may live up to the name of being flawless, play on words there. I mean, what did you think, Dan?
Wow. Honestly, based on the price point going into it, I didn't really have high expectations because what can they possibly release that's going to be so great that is going to deem it being worth however much it was, like $1,500 a box? I mean, you break it down, it was like, what? I mean, $150 a card? Is what we're talking about. I'm like, so going into it, I'm like, wow. I'm like, what? I know I'm a genius, but I'm like, wow. I'm like, what are they possibly going to have in this product? So I was like, there's no way you can have a solid ROI on this product. So I opened it, and out of the gate, I was like, I think the first one at first box I opened, we pulled a Kyrie auto. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, that's not bad. Little Kyrie on card auto, all-star card, killer. And then the box, we pulled like a Kyrie three-color patch, number to 10. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And then you go on eBay, and I'm like, that card's like got a day left, and it's like $800. I'm like, whoa, this is getting nuts. And then it just, like the next case, we got a Damian Lillard auto. I mean, that $1,000 card easily. I can't believe they produced a product that, for one, truly does live up to his name. I mean, I've never opened a product that was more exciting. I was literally shaking when I was opening up that product. I was so nervous because I'm like, this is nuts. And
it wasn't just because you didn't have a rock star or anything, right? With no caffeine chicks, right?
No, I've actually cut out energy drinks altogether. I'm out of the energy drink game. I'm done. sticking with coffee now. But no, I mean that is the most exciting product I've ever opened, and based on the secondary market, it's the most valuable product I've ever opened. And
yeah.
Props to Panini for really delivering and going above and beyond my expectations for that product. And it's cracked. I mean, secondary market boxes alone went from $1,500 to what are they at right now? Like $2,200 probably.
$1,900. Yeah,
3,500. I mean, and that stuff is drying up. I mean, there's been some amazing cards pulled already, and the patches are insane. I've never seen a product that had so many multicolor patches. Because I was thinking, I'm like, well, there's gonna be some dumpy cards in here. You can't have all killer, no filler. It just doesn't work. So I'm like, there's gonna be a point where we're gonna pull like a single color relic. Not in any of the cases, and none of the cases that I've seen opened. They've all been multicolored. They've all been low-numbered. The gem cards are like an added bonus. Those are going for an insane amount. Didn't pull any emeralds, but we did pull – I don't actually think we pulled anything lower than a number to 20 diamond card.
Yeah.
But, wow. I mean, it's – it looks like something for sure. I gotta say, it's definitely the real deal, and hopefully, I could see like a football product of it just going insane. Because I think there is a big market for basketball, and the secondary market always seems to do really well at basketball. But football, I just think with the popularity of football in general, if they had a football flawless, that would just be insane. I mean, with this year's rookie class, it probably wouldn't be as sexy as last year's rookie class, but maybe the 2014 rookie class when you have Johnny Football and,
You mean you don't want a Ryan Swope? You don't want a 101 Ryan Swope diamond card? Come on.
Dude, I love Swope, dude. Swope, there it is.
You know, I wanted to just, while you were talking about Flawless, I know I already used it once in this show, but I just wanted to keep playing it.
Shoot, tame up.
Or like a money sign, right, for everybody that had their options end on eBay. Like, boom. Ding. But, yeah, I mean, this year's draft, I mean, if they did it with football, they would have to obviously, you know, bring in Montana and, you know, Bart Starr and, you know, Favre. All those guys, and maybe bring in Luck and Griffin from the last year, but I could see it doing really well with baseball too. I mean, you get some cut autos. I mean, it would have to be obviously with Topps. Panini might be able to do it with the no license, but it would probably really have to be on Topps to do something at that price point to deliver on a $1,000 price point product. But I mean, do you think this is where some of these manufacturers, obviously Topps is seeing this, Upper Deck is seeing this. Do you think they're in works of making something above and beyond what they've already done with Exquisite and, like, Five Star? Do you think they're going to push out a product that's $1,500?
Well, I think this is a – and I think that this industry is – I can't really come up with a better word, but it's kind of a copycat industry. So if something works, everybody's going to jump on board and do something like it. So – I can guarantee you, Topps right now, they're looking at the secondary market, and they're seeing what these cards sell for. So they're like, absolutely, they're going to try to push and see what they can make in that same price point. Panini's probably already working on trying to get another sport, like maybe a baseball or a football flawless up there, because it worked. People bought it. People are going crazy over it. People are willing to pay 30, 40, 50% over what the original pre-sale price was. And nobody's even batting an eye when it comes to it. They're just like, $1,900, no problem. I'm into that. $4,000, I'm into that. There's no,
well,
I'm
about to sell my Camry, work my way down to a Pinto, and buy Flawless. Like, take the difference and buy some Flawless. I don't know about you guys, but that's what I'm thinking.
No, I mean, I think it would not surprise me to see Topps jump on board and have some kind of crazy release where, you know, it's $1,500 a box. Because, again, like I said, they've seen that it worked. It was a big risk for Panini to release something like this. And imagine if it flopped. Imagine, like, the backlash that they would get if that product completely flopped.
You know what? It makes sense why Prominence and Rookies and Stars and stuff weren't very good. They were taking all R&D and putting it in Flawless. So, it makes sense that Prominence was really bad because they were paying that long money for those higher end developers for the Flawless. They had the interns working on the Prominence, so it really kind of clears the air there.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the card design kind of looks like NT a little bit. It's a real basic design, but patches were crazy. I mean, they had to pay that long money to get all those guys to sign on card autos in a relatively quick turnaround. I know it got pushed back, but there's no redemptions in this. They're all on card autos. So I mean, they had to go to these guys, and they were like, it was kind of a time crunch. I mean, I'm surprised they got it out that fast. This product I mean, it probably went into development, a month or two before the National?
Well, that we know, as far as we know.
Yeah. People didn't start talking about it until the National.
Yeah.
Lillard was still under contract at the National with Leaf.
Right. Well, maybe that's where it all went down. Maybe at the Mojo break party, they started talking to each other right there, and that's how it worked. I mean, I could only dream. Probably didn't happen. They were probably talking about how much they hate breakers. But no, I'm just kidding. But I mean, I look at the Flawless product this way. I mean, people say it's a high price tag. If you look at it as, okay, if you buy a case of Preferred, you're probably going to get $200+ cards out of an entire case, which is 40 cards. You spend $1,000 on a box, you're going to get 10 case hits with Flawless. And you can kind of compare that across the board to Select, to any of those base-heavy products where you're going to get one case hit. They basically took all the filler of the base and the inserts and stuff like that, and they just made it into the hits. So, I mean, yes, it's a high price point per card, but in a sense, it's the same price as a Preferred case. You're getting the same kind of value on your return, or more likely better in this case, because these cards are selling so crazy right now.
Now, what do you think my issue with it, and I was talking to people in the chat room when I was breaking it live, I'm like, well, with this product coming out, and Immaculate coming out, which we're not sure what that's going to bring, and people are expecting that's going to be a great product as well. The NT prices have to be falling. The secondary market on NT, like RPAs and stuff like that, they have to be falling right now.
You would think.
So is that something, is NT not going to be, if they keep on coming out with Flawless on a year-to-year basis, is that going to make NT more of a, you know, kind of the secondary when it comes to high-end? It's not going to be considered the high-end product anymore.
It's low-end.
Because they have two products. It's low-end. It's retail at this point.
Well, I mean, one of the big online retailers has a box of NT at 809. That's higher than it was before Flawless came out. So,
yeah, I don't know. People love some basketball, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, basketball, as far as resale and popularity right now, is trumping the other sports. I mean, it could have to do with baseball. you know, pretty much if anything, people are stopped, you know, they're not collecting their team as much right now during the, you know, there's only two teams left. There wasn't a big Bryce Harper, Mike Trout. Me and Ryan kind of talked about this off the air that, you know, Puig just wasn't, you know, he was good and he was selling cards, but he wasn't like, I don't know, just the time. He wasn't the Bryce Harper, the Mike Trout that we had a couple years ago. Or it was just the fact that there was just one guy that was selling well, and that was Puig, and there was really nobody else that was selling well. Walker caught a little fire, you know, for a while, but basketball, I mean, and I think you throw in the overseas to equate. I mean, some of these guys from overseas are paying, you know, a lot of money. I mean, I list stuff on eBay, and it's constant. Overseas buyers, Australia, buying basketball cards, China, Japan, Korea, all wanting to buy, you know, some of my listings. So, you know, I don't think you have an international market with football, with baseball as much. I mean, baseball you get when you get, like, the Japanese guy, like Koji Yoharas and stuff like that. I mean, those guys sell well overseas, but there's not a big enough market for baseball, I think, around the world that there is for basketball.
I think this might sound a little crazy, but it also, if you look at the past history with the Dodgers and their homegrown talent, guys who have come up through their farm system, they've always had guys who have come out strong either won a Rookie of the Year, and some of them became good major league players, but they had a lot of hype coming up. And they not saying that they were bad major league players, but most of them ended up having a good career, but they were never superstar status, like the Eric Karros. Like, he was a
right.
huge prospect coming out. He won Rookie of the Year. Russell Martin was another guy
right.
who was a good prospect for the Dodgers. Piazza was a Hall of Famer, but he was – I mean, there was a brief time where he was probably considered a superstar. But they've had a long history of guys. Raul Mondesi was another guy who was, like, you know, highly touted prospect coming out of the Dodgers organization, just good major leaguer, but not a superstar. With Bryce
right.
Harper, you look at him and you're like, well – this may be like a once-in-a-lifetime talent. Now, he may just be, you know, an average or better-than-average baseball player at the end of his career or through his career, but, you know, I think the Dodgers' history with their farmhands that have come up through their system, that may affect people. They're like, well, this guy may be another Raul Mondesi. This guy may be a good major leaguer, but he's not going to be one of the greats.
Right.
I think he'll be fine. I think he'll do good. And I think he'll be a 300 hitter next year. I honestly do. As much as it pains me to say that, I think he will. I think he's got the talent. I just the off-field issues, I think, you know, he needs to hire a publicist or somebody to tell him to not say certain things. But other than that, you know, I think he'll be fine. Will his prices be as high as they were this year? Probably not. But he should still be a top five guy that sells next year.
Yeah, I'm gonna disagree. I'm gonna say he's pretty much gonna be a Raul Mondesi.
Mm. Raul Mondesi was good.
He was good.
I like.
Really? was he a great? Was he a great player?
Future Hall of Famer, Raul Mondesi.
Future Hall of Famer? Oh, you're talking about his kid, right?
Yeah. Alberto Mondesi. Actually, that guy's selling pretty well right now. Get back into the flawless. I mean, there was probably about, you know, trying to be, find something. Usually we're trying to find something good. Now I'm sitting here trying to find something bad. I think there was about three guys that probably should have been in the product, but, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, the Jose Calderon, he probably should have been in the product. I mean, Zach Randolph is good. I mean, he doesn't sell very well. Maybe they could have went without him, but then the Grizzlies might not have had anybody in the set. So, but the Calderon was probably the one that was kind of most like, really? Or maybe the Chandler Parson. But other than that, the checklist is pretty stout. I mean, there's not a whole lot of Carl Malone autos that have been out recently. There's not a whole lot of John Stockton. So you give a team like the Jazz, I mean, from a group break standpoint, the Jazz normally were like, you know, Enos Kanter, bust. You weren't getting anything for the Jazz. I mean, so now you got the legends in there. Pippen selling well. I mean, some of the Shaq cards on the Lakers are going nuts. There's one, I think it's the most watched auction right now, and it's, I had the data up here. It's up to like $900. It's one of those RPAs. which are beautiful, by the way. If you haven't seen the auto RPA out of Flawless, I mean, those are probably one of the best designs I've ever seen. It's a 10 of 10, and it's up to $898 with 141 watchers and 3 days left, so 26 bids. So, and then you got a Kobe Bryant patch card. So it seems like people are chasing those patch cards if it's not Lillard or Kyrie. That's up to $1,185 with 2 days, 3 days left. The one-of-one true rookie of Damian Lillard is up to $2,500 right now with 5 days left. So we're talking about that card may go up to $6,000, $7,000 by the time it ends. That's some long money right there.
That is some long money.
We'll have to see if they pay, but that's another thing. I know eBay would never do that, but it'd be nice to know as you're trying to sell your cards and see if somebody actually paid. And it also would be a nice thing to know when the best offer is taken, what the best offer was. Because I looked at some of the completed auctions on, you know, stuff that's sold already from Flawless, and the top selling card was a Lillard number to 5, and it said 6,000, but it says best offer accepted. I would like to see it, and maybe Brian, am I not seeing something here? Is there a way to see this and see how much it sold for? Or is it?
I use Terapeak, but I subscribe to that. I think there's actually another website that's probably like an affiliate website where they just convert it for you. I use Terapeak, which I log in, and then it shows me. Yeah. On regular eBay, I don't think there's a way to see best offers. On there, unless, yeah, I actually don't think there's a way to do it. I think you either have to go through one of the backdoor channels like Terapeak, or I think something called sortof.com or something. I'm not really sure. But I use Terapeak, but Terapeak's a day or two behind. So I was looking at stuff like the first couple of days, some of the Kyries were 3,000. Some of the autographed Kyries were in the $2,000 to $3,000. A couple of Shaqs over $1,000. Bronze diamond cards out of 20. Three of them sold for about $1,000 each. So it's
wow.
It looked like it was hot. It was pretty hot, which is typical of basketball. I think what you guys are saying about it being a global game, it really is actually. I think we get so consumed with football in this country or, you know, other things. But in reality, if Tom Brady and LeBron James walk through China or walk through some place not in the United States, LeBron James will get mobbed, and Tom Brady might be able to just keep walking, go about his day. That's how popular the NBA is. And you're right that a lot of these sales are kind of coming from Australia. It's a huge NBA hotbed. I had kids. They came. They were a fan of my website. And they came over here with their parents for a trip. And they were from Australia. And I actually met up with them. And all they wanted to do was talk about basketball cards. And we went and bought some basketball cards and opened them. Like, they don't care about football and baseball. Like, that's it's an American thing, whereas basketball is a really global thing. So, Panini, you know, they did the right thing here. I worry that when Certified comes out or Prism comes out, that people won't be as excited about it, and that it does dilute. You know, you used to pull a single-color jersey card, and it was awesome. And now it's like, oh, my God, you throw it in the trash. So I worry that they continue to elevate the expectations and that it becomes even a more niche hobby.
Right.
This certainly fed the people who spend a lot of money and who are really serious and into it. But on a macro level, on like a whole big macro level, I personally don't think it does a lot to kind of promote the hobby. I think on a set like NBA Hoops, which came out, you know, to much smaller fanfare than Flawless did. That came out last week, too. That's actually a much more important set because it gets cards into a lot more people's hands. And those were actually the cards the kids, when they came over here, we went and bought about, I think, 30 or 40 packs. And I think they were $1 at the time at Target. And we just opened all the packs of who. It's a more affordable product. It gets in the hands of more people. It gets people thinking about collecting prestige and then collecting national treasures and maybe flawless and stuff. So I think flawless is really good for that kind of base collector, that hardcore, diehard. I don't want to call him a gambler, but it's just because, you know, you're usually getting something back in return. But there's a guy who spends money on cards the same way I spend money on vacations and other crap. You know, people spend money on cards, and that's what they do, and that's what they enjoy. They get enjoyment out of it, whether they're opening themselves, they're doing a group break, they're doing whatever they're doing. So definitely I think it helped that, you know, niche of the hobby. I hope that it doesn't dilute their other offerings in basketball, which can sometimes be kind of weak. Especially some of their mid-tier crap. You know, National Treasures is usually really good. I think some of their, we've talked about this a lot, some of their lower end like Hoops, and even Prestige sometimes is okay. It's cheap, so. But some of their mid-tier stuff just is really, you know, it's a copycat of what they do in football. It's not very appealing. Whereas this stuff, Qualis, is really appealing. The National Treasures stuff is really appealing. Some of their lower end stuff, they're really being Score. I think Score would be a great, you know, that's essentially what NBA Hoops did. So hopefully, that's the only thing that worries me about when they kind of push the price point so far. You know, it used to be that $500, $600 was really expensive for a box. That's kind of top end, $700 maybe. But, you know, you're talking $500 to $700, top end. Now you've just, boom, you've exploded that now to $1,500 to $2,000 or whatever. I just worry that their other products just aren't, you know, people are going to be like, oh, my God, this is boring. Like, can't get another case of Flawless, you know?
Right, where you said it exactly what I'm thinking is that they've kind of set the bar where how do they outdo themselves now, and then how do people that have, you know, done this, how do they go back and break Prestige, which is coming out, you know? And I know there's different sets for different collectors and stuff like that, and there are still some relative, I mean, compared to football, people do still collect the basketball base sets. I think football is probably the weakest sport when it comes to collecting base set. I think baseball and basketball, people are at least still trying to put the set together and stuff like that. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, what's like, it's kind of like, you know, you eat lobster and steak for a week, and then you have to eat McDonald's. It's like your expectation level, you know, changed, you know, so to speak. So...
Well, it's similar to going to Hawaii for a week. You go to Hawaii for a week. You go to the Arizona Fall League for a week, and you come home. And I actually live in worse condition. I mean, you guys live in the nice area of California. I live like in the rat hole of California. I come home and I'm like, holy crap, what am I doing here? Like, let's turn around and go back to Arizona. Like, but it just kind of does. Like, you open Flawless, and you're like, oh my God, I could never. God, I just, you know, it was such a rush. You know, you make the mention of crack cocaine or heroin. You know, it's such like a big rush that can you now downgrade? You know, you smoke really good weed. Can you go back and smoke the bad weed now? You know, will you be able to get high again? That's the only thing I wonder. But this is actually, you know, this kind of secondary concern. I think we're kind of at that point of no return in this kind of collectible space. They have to push the envelope somehow. They have to make this exciting somehow. I wish that it would be like, you know, Flawless like was one of five sets that Panini released, basketball sets. You know, they released Hoops,
right.
Flawless, you know, and you can National Treasures, and you can pick two or three of the other ones, whatever ones for, you know, playbook, whatever, preferred. You know, I wish that they would, you know, instead of diluting it, you know, on further. When cards were at the hottest point in the early 90s, I was able to collect the 1989 Upper Deck with the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. Those were like a dollar a pack. That was expensive, but I could, at, you know, maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks afford a pack of that. I could collect the same stuff that the grown men were collecting because it was like one set of cards that would come out. Now we have like, you know, 20 different sets come out. They're all different price points. You can't get, you know, really good cards at NBA Hoops. And believe me, kids and younger people, they look on the Internet, too. They look on YouTube. They're watching box breaks. They want this stuff, too. So it now kind of raises their expectations. Now they're opening packs of NBA Hoops and be like,
boy, this isn't like watching a mojo break, case break a flawless where they're pulling out Kyrie's and diamonds. Like, you know, so that's the only thing that worries me is that they kind of raised the bar way too high, set the expectation way, and they're gonna make it for football. I mean, I would bet any amount of money. So I worry that now they kind of dilute the flawless name. The same way they did with Prism and Playbook and all this stuff. They're gonna dilute it probably a little bit and make a football stat. And I just worry that, you know, I just wish they just make it and then save it for Andrew Wiggins next year. Like, come out with it in December of next year, you know, and just use it with basketball.
Yeah.
Don't dilute it to football and don't, you know, because it's a really, the cards look really nice. Cards look really nice. I actually been meaning to go on there and see if I can find a bargain. Maybe I might have to wait a couple of weeks. But just to see if I can get a base card, an autograph, or something without and four figures.
Well, and comparing some of the, and kind of going back to the retail end of things, and you know, and maybe I haven't opened enough. I don't think I've opened really any Panini retail for that matter. But I think Topps does a good job of actually, like, when you open up Topps Chrome retail, Bowman Chrome retail, they actually do a good job of getting the same hit. Granted, the odds are tough to get, like, an orange Bryce Harper. But I see it on Blowout that people pull gold Harper autos and stuff out of retail. I really don't have a problem with that. I think that's good. I think Panini doesn't do a great as a job of getting some of the bigger hits in retail. Now, a hobby shop owner may scold me for saying that, but I think, you know, some of these blaster boxes or these value packs that Topps put out over the years, I've seen some, like, ridiculous pulls coming out of these things. And I've really never seen, when I search box breaks on, you know, Blowout or some of the bigger forums, I really don't see any big Panini hits coming out of any of these retail. It's like the single-color jerseys. They don't put the same print run that Topps does. Topps kind of spreads their, you know, autos throughout the entire retail and hobby run. They just make it a lot harder to pull it in hobby, or in retail, that is.
Right. Which not,
and
I never
wallet
for retail,
right.
But you're right that they could step up the kind of hit value, I guess, in retail.
Yeah, I mean, that would be ridiculous. You walk into Target, where are they going to – flawless? It's got to be, like, right next to the champagne, the Grand Marnier locked up, right? Oh, what's that? Is that a new kind of liqueur? No, that's basketball cards. It's fine there. $1,200 if you want it. That would be insanity. But, yeah, I mean, with the retail, a lot of times, you know, like 2014 Bowman will come out. I just want to see the design. I don't really have any expectations of getting any hits. But a lot of the times I'll be at Target. There's a Target right down the street from my house. I can almost walk. And sometimes I'll go there Tuesday or Monday before, and I'll, you know, I kind of get a taste of what Bowman looks like, you know. I never have gotten that itch with any Panini products that are retail, for that matter.
Right. Yeah,
so
and
that
they usually show up a lot
they're
later.
Looking at. Right,
yeah.
They do. So, but actually, you alluded to Hoops Jumbo. Dan opened four jumbo boxes last week. What did you think overall of the value on Hoops Jumbo being a 13-14 product?
Not a bad value. It has a new rookie class. I think there's about, at the end of every pack, there's about 8 to 10 gold parallels. They got some rookies in there. Tons of, like, subsets. A solid card design. I mean, pretty clean looking. Two autos per box, and then one relic. Most of the relics were single-color relic, but we did pull a Kevin Love three-color patch that was number two box. So that wasn't bad. A lot of cards, though. 50 cards a pack, 10 packs, 500 cards per. For only four boxes, 2,000 cards. So definitely a lot of value. And like I said, 500 cards a pack. No. 50 cards a pack. No, five. Dude, it was a Dude, it was a huge pack, dude. It was huge. It was 500 cards.
Mega jumbo.
While you were gone, I opened up Hoops. It was about 50,000 cards. It was insane. No, but I mean, I thought it was a clean card design. Like I said, great for set builders and great for people who want to, you know, see who the 2013-14 rookie class is all about. And I was learning on the fly. I don't watch too much college basketball, so I was trying to figure out some names and all that good stuff and stumbling over some stuff. But overall, pretty solid. I didn't really have huge expectations with it, but it really delivered. For the price point, you can't beat it. Three hits, tons of cards. Like I said, it's the first licensed cards for the 2013-14 rookie class. So, yeah, we'll probably be doing more of it.
Not yeah, bad. It looks like the Ben McLemore is kind of at the early lead as far as sales-wise. The rookie, base auto sold for $66. As far as I can see, there's really not a whole lot of auctions up for Hoops right now, but that was the highest that I've seen. Peyton Sivia sold for $37. He's from the Pistons. Steven Adams, $27 on the rookie for the Thunder. Dennis Schroeder for the Hawks, $23. So a couple more Peyton Silva.
There's a guy for the Magic that's hot.
Oladipo.
Victor
Oladipo.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should be a good player. I think he's playing right now, actually.
Yeah.
No.
Nice. Yeah.
He should be good. And the number one pick, Anthony Bennett, I mean, we'll see. They got a lot of players on the Cavs, so I don't know how much he'll play. There's a couple point guards I think are even hurt, like Trey Burke. It's hurt. One of the top picks for the Wizards, I think. Otto Porter, I believe, is even hurt and going to miss a little bit of time. So and then Nerlens Noel for the Sixers is also hurt and going to miss probably maybe the entire season. So the thing is that with basketball, just it's all going to pay back with this rookie class coming up, because they're usually not wrong about NBA rookie classes. And this next class coming up is going to run five or six deep. Like, the top five or six picks could be, like, studs. So it's going to be very exciting when that time comes. Hopefully a couple of these guys this year who are in the league now, they step up and play well. But don't worry, basketball fans, because it's going to get really good next year, and I hope Panini gears up for that and is ready for that, because that could be a really big year. I made a ton of money when LeBron James came out, and it was LeBron, Carmelo, Bosh. Everybody remembers that. I knew it was going to be hot. I bought as much cards as I could and resold them, and I made a pretty good amount of money for being 20. I don't know how old I was, 20 years old or something at the time. I wasn't very old. 19 years old, but I knew it was going to be hot. So I made, you know, if I had thought of group breaking on camera, I probably would have done that at that time. But I was just selling the boxes. And I made a lot of money, like, quickly, like boom, 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 and didn't have to do anything except list some things on eBay. And that was it. That was the way to make money back then. So hopefully Panini's ready for it. Maybe they deliver on some good products. Not that we should overlook this year, because these guys haven't played yet. A couple of them are going to be good. And maybe Panini, with getting Shaquille, get some of these guys we're seeing in Flawless, maybe they'll mix them in to some of their other sets, hopefully, and make those compelling and make people want to buy them. So basketball could be on the way up here. So I encourage everybody to look forward to this next draft class, because it's supposed to be huge, and it's really pay off. If you know what you're doing, it could really pay off, whether you're selling this stuff or trying to buy cards or even buy spots at a break, smartly buy spots at a break and hoping to hit. Right. You know, pay attention to this stuff, because the teams tanking, They're literally teams, you know, NBA season starts today. They're teams that are literally just riding off a whole year because they're five or six guys that are supposed to be the second coming of, you know, an all-star coming up in this NBA draft, which hardly ever happens. Either there's one guy, or there's two guys, or there's one and a half guys. This is supposed to run 5, 6, 7, 8 deep. And that hasn't happened in a long time. That's probably Bosh, Wade, James, that crew, Darko Milicic. There were some other good players. Not that Darko was any good, but there were some other players in that draft that were good. So big time. I'm surprised. We're just talking about basketball. Usually we talk about football and baseball and all this stuff, but forget that we're talking basketball, and basketball cards are hot. Haven't mentioned Triple Threads one time, which is shocking.
I know.
Triple Threads comes out. We haven't mentioned it one time. I'm kind of shocked about that.
What's Triple Threads?
What's Triple Threads? Yeah.
Never heard of it.
The new?
Is that out? Did I miss that?
Did that get released?
Is that a velour suit? Is that a velour suit? Is that a piece of clothing? Triple Threads?
yeah.
before we did, we can go ahead and get right into Triple Threads, but I did find an interesting forum post on Blowout of a guy, and I think it was last year's Triple Threads, because he pulled a all-star game one-of-one of Jared Weaver. It was a book card, and it had a whole laundry tag on one side and then like a three-color patch on the other, right? And this one actually had the authenticity number from the jersey in the patch, so it had a little code. So the guy did a search. So mind you, this is a Jared Weaver card. The guy did a search because you can go on whatever site you can go on to, an MLB authentication database, and look under game used jersey and look up the code. The jersey actually belonged to Matt Holliday.
Oh.
Oops. So, yeah. Oops.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so it's a Jared Weaver card, but it's got a Matt Holliday jersey on it. I don't know, does that raise the value of it? I mean, that's like an error card, but it also brings – does this happen all the time? We would never know it. This just happened to have the authentication sticker that when you buy a full-size jersey they have in there that you can check online to make sure it's real. So Topps included that sticker in this piece because of where they cut the All-Star, where they cut the laundry tag is where the sticker was. So it's crazy that nobody at Topps actually searched that. I mean, that would be one way to make sure that you got the right piece of jersey in a card. But it does make you wonder if these jerseys, like, you know, like you get a Puig jersey. It's like maybe they didn't have any Puig jerseys and they threw a bunch of Matt Kemp jerseys in there. Who would know? We wouldn't know.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been an isolated incident. You'd like to think so. I mean,
glass half full, but
they deal with a lot of jerseys, and you know, on that one in particular, it's the All Star, right? So it's a National American League jerseys. So all those jerseys look the same.
Yes.
So I mean, I can see a screw up on that one. I can see somebody messing up on that one. Just wanna hope it's an isolated incident, but I can see that happening.
Well, you would think. I mean, I don't know how card manufacturers make jerseys, but like you could look at a set like Allen Ginsler. They had Matt Kemp on a full size, you know, the nameplate on one of their box loaders. So I'm pretty sure they didn't use the rest of the jersey within the set. So they may have jerseys that sit in their vaults that are filed away that have, like, Kemp and the number missing out the back, and they just have pieces left. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they must have some kind of filing system or, like, a file cabinet for jerseys of some sort that they've used, like, the color. Like, same thing with Panini. They probably had, like, all these patches from Flawless. They had cut around the patch to make the jerseys for, like, Prestige or Frickin' Limited or something like that, and they save the jersey, they put it away, they file it under the plate. So I could see, I mean, I'm terrible at an organization sometimes. I could see, I mean, I don't know who's in charge of that portion of making the cards, but I could see where when you're dealing with 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 jerseys, maybe putting the one in the wrong spot could easily happen.
I mean, it could definitely happen.
I would love to figure out. I would love to see that. I would love to tour. I would love to sit there and watch like a day of them making like a Triple Threads product, even if it was like only 6 cards they were making that day or something, just to see like how they cut the jerseys out, like what equipment they use, you know, what, how they decide which card goes into what. I mean, that would be
an
interesting thing. That
it's extremely not organized, and it's done by people who don't know sports very well. I guarantee it. And it might even be all third party at that point. Like, at the production place, I've seen them kind of make jersey cards, but I don't know if they're all done the exact same. Like, I bet it's really not as organized as Topps or Panini would want to make it seem like. I think they would have shown it if it was, like, really, like, organized and, like, high-tech and stuff. I guarantee it's just, like, sloppily done, where mistakes, 99 times out of 100, there aren't mistakes, but, you know, like this case with the Matt Holliday card, you know. And that's a pretty glaring mistake to have the sticker on the card. It doesn't even match the guy on the card. I mean, that's pretty bad. That's like you said, you could get any patch card, and I was looking at the flawless LeBron James patches and stuff, and looking at how nice they were, and I was like, wow, it's pretty nice. But shoot, you could just go pull any old Nike jersey off the rack and cut it up.
Yeah.
How do we know, you know, that he used it and that it was a game and not a, you know, not that, you know, I don't know. It's very, they don't want you to really know that stuff. Like,
they don't, and there was that whole Jersey Gate thing with Upper Deck, I think during the 08-09 years of some of their products where there was, somebody that sold, the Upper Deck didn't know, but the guy, I guess, sold them some game-used jerseys at a discount, and they turned out to be something that the guy just basically bought and, like, ran them in the dirt or something, you know what I mean? He, like, it was like a jersey you can buy off of MLB.com for $200, and he sold it to Upper Deck for, like, $2,000. Saying it was game use, and he had a base, and he had, you know, fake paperwork and stuff, and I think that guy got taken to court and stuff like that. But I'm sure that's one of the ways when they're looking at overall margins on how they can make products cheaper, they probably try to acquire jerseys at the cheapest price possible. And with that being said, I mean, there's probably a lot of room for error.
Yeah. Because it seems complicated.
Same thing.
It's a ton of cards. So many cards,
yeah,
and they're all, you know, little pieces of a big jersey. So it's just, definitely not surprised that mistakes are made, and they should make up for it or do something for the guy. But I wish they would be. I think they're not transparent about it or open about it because it isn't incredibly organized, and it may be all done at some third party site that they don't have the authority to videotape or you know, it's all literally third party. That, you know,
right.
Topps is just kind of the brand, you know, but somebody, you know, it's like shampoo gets made over in China, and I bring it over here, and I just slap, you know, Schwab on it or whatever. Ryan's shampoo.
Right.
Boom. You know,
but
some generic brand, you know.
I don't know, but
I mean, that's kind of putting it in disparaging terms, but sometimes that's what it feels like. Sometimes that's what these sets feel like, that they're just, you know. That's why it's nice to have a set like Flawless, because it's different. It, you know, it's very different. It's, it gets blood excited, you know. It gets people excited. It gets people's hands shaking to open this stuff. But we need more of that. I think we would need less product, but we need a little more excitement like that.
And one thing to add to the jersey thing, and Fitch brought this up in the chat, when the Giants won the World Series, they won in 2010, they won in 2012, I think it was in 2011, that people were paying a lot of money for the World Series relics. It was a World Series card. I think we may have talked about this like 30 shows ago, but people thought they were buying jerseys that were worn in the World Series because if you look at the front of the card, it says World Series champs and has a piece of the jersey in there. I mean, and it was like some of the single-color jerseys were selling for $90 to $100 is like Brandon Crawford, who would normally sell for like $3, $4 if it was just a jersey. But they turned out to say on the back that this wasn't used in any event, so it wasn't even a World Series jersey. So there was a lot of collectors that thought they were buying the set of World Series at a premium, and it wasn't even a jersey that was used during those games.
Right.
So, I
know that. Yeah, Aubrey Huff was like $105, single collar jersey,
right,
out of number to 100. Yeah, I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, like, do these people really know what they're buying? Like, you can get an Aubrey Huff jersey card for $1.50, like, any day of the week. Probably shift. Like, wow, this is crazy.
Why?
Like, so, I think it would make it more valuable if you it would be hard to get the World Series jerseys, but I think it would create more value. Maybe not to say, hey, this was on this date, but do it with certain ones, or do it with the
right
key players or the big patches or something. They've got to find a way to increase the value of these memorabilia cards, because unless you pull a really nice patch, they're not that appealing, to be honest.
Right.
They're really not that appealing anymore. Unless you pull a nice, big, or even three-color, you know, like the Kevin, it sounds like that Kevin Love three-color sub 5 out of NBA Hoop. That's a great hit out of a cheap product like that. Great hit. So, well, they need to find ways to do that a little more. I don't know what they could do with all these single-color pieces. I don't know. Something unique, maybe.
I think what they got to do is they got to start using other pieces of memorabilia. Like, I know in limited football, they had, like, helmet, like, pieces and glove pieces and, like, stuff, like, shoe pieces and, like, all that stuff. I think they got to go more in that direction. I know they do it with hockey a lot as well, like a lot of different types of memorabilia, because the single-color jersey pieces are getting a little old. So, just introducing like different variations and different versions of memorabilia, I think, would definitely spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I wanted to go ahead and let's go ahead and move on to Triple Threads, which, and surprisingly, if you're ever thinking about buying a box of Triple Threads, buy it now. With the flawless craze right now, people just aren't buying Triple Threads like they did in past years, and I know it's a different sport, but this stuff's gone down a lot compared to what it should be. So, I mean, it can only go up from here. I mean, you got Puig, you got all the guys that you would need to get in the product, and the design's better. I didn't open it yet. Well, I opened two boxes yesterday. But I think they did a pretty good job with it, and it's really surprising that it's gone down. I mean, it's going to be only for a short period of time, and it's going to go right back up. So if you have some just silly $10,000 just lying around you're looking to do something with, I mean, it would probably not be a bad idea to invest it in some Triple Threads, maybe break a few cases for yourself and then hold on to the rest and sell it when it gets back up to 180, 190, because I have a feeling it's going to be. But, Dan, I mean, you opened a case of it, three cases of it on Friday. And, I mean, what were your initial thoughts and some of the goods and bads of the product?
You know, they're guaranteeing either in a 9-box case, you're getting either a White Whale 101 printing plate patch auto, or you're getting a triple auto. And I would say in the three cases I opened, I think I got what would be considered two case hits per 9-box inner. So it was really delivering. I mean, it wasn't bad at all. The subject list isn't bad. I think the checklist is strong. I've heard people complain about the checklist, but I think Puig is like a harder pull. I think his cards are numbered at 99 and less. So they didn't oversaturate this product with a bunch of Puig. Puig base cards seem like they're relatively hard to get as well. I think out of the three boxes, I only got one Puig parallel numbered to like 250. But the card design, I think I got one book out of the three cases. And I also got one of the 101 MLB All-Star MLB logo patches of, like, Matt Harrison, which is pretty cool. And that's considered a case hit as well. So, yeah, I mean, overall, the cases had good value. Card design is nice. It's similar to last year, but it looks like Triple Threads. It feels like Triple Threads. It smells like Triple Threads. It's Triple Threads. They still have the Unity Auto and Relic in each mini box. And, yeah, I mean, at $139?
Well, I think that's wholesale right now. It's probably $150 on retail, $150, $160. But, I mean, usually it's $180 to $200. So I think you can get
I mean, at $150 right now, that's a steal. I mean, this product will go up to $180, $200, I can guarantee you. I don't know what's going on with baseball right now. It might have to do with the fact that baseball season is winding down, but it's always gets released around the gets released around the same time anyway. So I don't see how that can really affect the resale value or the secondary market on it. But yeah, overall, definitely a good value. Did I lose you guys? What's going on?
We're just entrenched in your Triple Threads discussion. The triple. I always love the sayings that are on the. They have so many different cards in that. It's actually kind of confusing that because there's so many parallels and little things. But
you know, I they still have like the Future Phenoms Auto Relic.
Right.
I think those guys are on cards. And then, yeah, all the different variation, like, jersey pieces, and it has, like, either a nickname on it or something like the multiplayer cards have, like, something about the city, like Chi-Town or something like that, and or Southside for, like, the White Sox. And it's super clean design. But it is what it is. It's the same configuration as it is every year. I'm just surprised that out of the gate dropped. I mean that's not likely with Triple Threads. Usually Triple Threads has a little bit of a spike when it first comes out, and then it kind of starts dipping a little bit, and then it usually goes up a little bit more when it starts drying up a little bit. But,
I think it's a direct correlation of Flawless. I mean, I think that's what it is that everybody's looking for Flawless right now.
Yeah, I got to disagree because not everybody collects basketball.
One of our diehard baseball breakers bought in a Flawless this week.
I understand that, but I would say that The cards are still called baseball cards. Baseball. When it comes to sports cards, baseball is still king. At the end of the day, it's baseball cards, and then I would say football and basketball are pretty close. It really depends on the rookie class. Last year, you would say football, but right now, I would say basketball has, at least with the secondary market, has surpassed football. But
yeah,
I still think that just because Flawless came out should not really affect the resale value on Triple Threads baseball.
You're wrong.
I think it has to do. I'm wrong. I'm my opinion is wrong. I'm wrong. I don't know what I'm talking about. No, Doug, you're wrong.
It's across the board with the baseball products this year. I mean, it's a weird phenomenon that's going on with baseball products. A lot of them are down compared to years prior. And it could be a couple reasons. I honestly think Triple Threads is a great product. I love the mix of the Legends of Veterans. You've got the full fold-out books with the full logos, the laundry tags, the All-Stars, the Bat Relics, the 101 White Whales, the Triple Autos. You don't get as much variety in any baseball product of hits that you get in Triple Threads. So I would say that first off. But with baseball, I don't know what it is right now. It's just maybe because they released so many products in such a small time frame that people
I'll tell you what it is. I figured it out in the last 15 seconds. I figured everything out. People are tired of pulling Alex Cobb, Devin Mesoraco, and Willene Rosario.
Could have a lot
done. Just figured it out.
You know what? I wouldn't discount the kind of the bad vibes that Topps has gotten over really the course of the whole year. That some of that has hurt them as far as their customer service and some of their just overall reputation in the industry, along with, it not being maybe a very compelling rookie class or even some of the prospect cards. I wouldn't discount that they've, that has hurt them a little bit. The other thing I would add is that when you think of triple threat, you kind of think of like high end or a little more like high end. And I think that, well, Dan, you're right. The guy who maybe collects Topps Heritage and regular Topps and Topps Archives and stuff, maybe he's just hardcore baseball guy all the way, could care less about the NBA. But I think that person who's into triple threads, they're maybe a little more on that gambling, that kind of that high roller sports card collector, and that if given the choice between triple threads or gambling on, like a spot and a break for flawless, they're going for flawless. Because that's just more exciting. That's just way more exciting at this moment. I bet if it was a really good Bowman release that came out at the same time as Flawless, I would think there's still be a lot of people talking about the Bowman and the prospects and the autographs and all that kind of stuff. But because, Triple Threads is this kind of, it's a different tier. It's a kind of the higher-end tier baseball card collector. Given the choice, even if they don't really like basketball, they're seeing all this buzz about these cards. To me, I think most people would go right for the basketball, either, maybe not, get into a break. And it seems like that's what this set was just tailor-made for. I don't know how many people, were sitting around opening cases of this stuff solo, ripping, flipping this stuff or a personal box of flawless. That probably didn't happen that much, to be honest. Seems like really tailor-made to little kind of group, crowdsource kind of fund, the cost of the box. It's kind of like, box breaking is kind of like, it's like Kickstarter. We need to buy this $1,500 box. We need 30 people right now to donate $50. That's essentially kind of really how cool it is that you're able to, And it allows these companies to push the envelope on some of the price point because they know people aren't going to pony up $1,500 on their own 9 times out of 10, but they're still going to be able to get into the cards and have that excitement and be able to watch it. That's the component that's pretty important. So comparing triple threads to flawless, it's just so much more exciting. Open a box of triple threads and then watch a box of flawless being open. I mean, you can really tell the difference there in the excitement level. So, cards look nicer, though. The cards did look nicer. The triple threats, I'm talking about triple threats. The cards did look a little nicer than maybe years past. I guess that didn't really help the sale prices, but I thought the cards looked nicer.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at the secondary market on singles, and I mean, they're not doing bad. I mean, there was Koufax selling for $500, $600, and Koufax's been a lot of stuff. Puig selling for even numbered to 18 is it says the Bull, so it's his nickname one. That's selling for $500. There's actually a really sweet card that I got in the Rich's break. I got the 1-1 version of it. It's a triple auto of Bo Jackson, Mike Trout, and Ricky Henderson. And it's live. So you got three guys. I mean, those are some of the biggest collectible names in the industry, and they're on one card. That's pretty cool, and it's not a redemption. So props to them on that. Machado selling, there was a 1-1 Machado that sold for $700. There's some good value on some of the cards that have sold, for $135 box $150, $160 retail. That, you got your Will Myers that's in there. Will Myers still sells well, and you got all the big names. It looks like the cut 1-1 Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig just got pulled, along with the cut 1-1 of Ted Williams and Jackie Robinson. So both those books have been pulled, but I believe there's another cut 1-1 of Babe Ruth and somebody else. So there's still some really, really high-end chase. There's also bat knobs. Looks like a Ricky Henderson bat knob 1-1 booklet. Some guys got up there for $3,000. So there's still that element of getting that big, $3,000 card possibilities in this stuff. So And for the price, like I said, I would, if you were on the fence of buying it, I'd buy it now, you know, or get into a break, which, shameless plug, we got a case break tomorrow for only $59 of Topps Triple Threads Baseball, which is just
greatest
dirt
product ever.
For a case.
Greatest product ever.
The greatest product ever, especially when you break
on our site.
I would never buy it at mojobreaks.com.
I would never join a flawless break if Triple Threads is available.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
No,
but
I think
it's forget
wait this second. Mojo Break also has a flawless hit draft tomorrow too, so
I love flawless.
I both. I mean, you can't go wrong with either one. So just buy both.
We doing Prime Football too?
Yeah, greatest product ever.
Another
great product too.
Another top 10 top product right there.
We're also doing 2013 crap. And we're also doing a case of 2013 crap in your mouth, and it's the greatest product ever tomorrow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Did you guys know I'm coming out with a repack product? Did you guys sell that too? I'm gonna get you guys on that. The Sports Card Radio super deluxe pristine box. So it's tentative release date, December 16th. So you guys,
nice.
I'm breaking news right now. So you guys it'll be available at your local distributor, hopefully. So I've still got to call them.
Does it have that 101 Eddie Vedder Pearl Jam cut ticket auto in there?
Well, I'm going to keep that one for myself. But I'm hoping to get their third drummer to get signed something, and then I'll put that in there. So Eddie will go to me, and then their third drummer will go in the set.
Well, see, I thought you told me if I ordered 50% of the cases that I would be guaranteed the print run case hit.
See, you'll get some hot boxes. I guarantee you guys will get some hot boxes. I'll make sure of that. I'll make sure I pack you guys some special hot boxes. So you don't even have to worry about that.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's going to be the greatest product ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're going to spend the most money, so we should make sure that we get that super factor.
Okay.
That you're going to put a lot.
That's true. Yeah,
you
guys are going to be my one and only customer. So you probably will get the entire print run, to be honest. So
yeah.
I'm thinking about making you guys the exclusive breakers of my Sports Card Radio Super Deluxe Pristine Box. So you guys will be the exclusive group breakers. So just thought I'd throw that out there for you guys.
Sweet. Is
all
the print run just one box?
It's going to be, the price point is going to exceed flawless. So
it's going to be one box, and it's going to be $150,000.
Yes.
Ding! Done.
Yes. One spot? Yeah, so you'd have to sell spots for like $10,000, I think. Yeah, like $10,000 a spot. 20 spots, $10,000 a spot, baby. Boom. Get it done.
There'll be one $5,000 card to 10 Willian Rosarios.
Yeah,
put
some redemption. It won't be redemption free, that's for sure.
Put it on the site, Doug.
It's already up there.
You
right
got it. Yeah, you got to pre-sell that right now.
Pre-sell it, baby.
Right,
$10,000 a spot.
Nice. Yeah, that. You know, I was actually kind of pondering the thought, and this is not to change the subject, but, you know, like, if you think about, like, the Topps Chrome, how they had, like, a lot – Topps Chrome Baseball had, like, a lot – I mean, not – it had a lot of redemptions. It wasn't as much as we thought, but it did have a lot of redemptions. So how are they going to price these boxes, like, 7 years from now? Because you're not going to be able to redeem any of the Anthony Rendon's, the Puigs, or anything like that. So that's what I'm curious about, is, like, some of these products that are redemption-heavy – I mean, they almost have to start honoring some of these redemptions like 5 years, 10 years later. You know what I mean? It's like it's crazy how much some of these products have redemptions in them, and they're not gonna and they're gonna expire by the time you know 5, 6, 7 years come around.
Well, we've opened up enough 2007 Upper Deck Ultimate Baseball, and
yeah,
we've seen how that goes down. I mean, you're looking for no redemption, and there's pretty much a redemption in every case, at least one.
Which isn't bad at a 48 hit. But like if you're
no,
doing
that,
like a
that's
top
not,
chrome case.
That's not bad at all. But, yeah, like what you're saying with Topps Chrome, you can in a 12-box case, you can get, like, 7 redemptions. So, yeah, I mean, at what point do they start honoring that? Because it's, I mean, that's like, that's ridiculous. That's, what, almost 8, that's like almost 4 boxes worth the, 4 boxes worth of hits.
Yeah. They should almost have some, if they're not going to do anything about it, you know what they should do? They should have some, like, aged ink that after 6 years, it just says ass out. So you pull it and it says ass out. You're ass
yeah.
out. You can't get a card. You're screwed.
Basically, what you know, it used to be that the gum, you know, would kill the cards. I heard about a story about a guy who opened a, like, a pack from the 50s at the National recently in Chicago. And he pulled this card that would have been worth, in okay condition, it would have been worth about $300 or $400. But it was the card I think right after the gum, you know, right after the gum. So the gum like stained the entire card. It basically like kind of made it worthless. Now it's kind of like these redemptions, like you're saying, like it really does kill the product. And there's really not a good database to where if you guys are thinking about doing a break. To go, I guess you could use Beckett's website if you, you know, you could search Beckett, the set in Beckett and search for redemptions, I guess. That might be kind of tedious, but there's really no way of knowing. You know, 2, 3 years from now, we're going to forget that, you know, Topps Chrome was loaded up with redemptions. A lot of people probably not going to remember that. And these boxes are going to go dirt cheap. They're going to go like tank, and people are going to be like, oh, man, I could get, you know, dude, they still have Puig in there, and I can get it for $45. Ooh, I'm going to buy it. And then they buy it, and it's all redemption. So that's a, you know, and it's bad because you guys could be opening this up 2, 3 years from now. People could be enjoying it. It could appreciate a value for your distributors or for whoever kept it. Maybe Topps kept some themselves. I don't know. That's the dicey thing. Doesn't Panini, you guys may know this, doesn't Panini, like if you pull an NBA card, that's expired, that they'll still do something for you because they still
yeah, they're the only life. They're the only company that will do it. They'll give you something even if they don't have the card. There was a story we pulled a Kevin Durant auto from Absolute from 2010 or 2009, I forget the year. It was a Kevin Durant number to 25, and they didn't have it, so they gave him a Kobe Bryant to like 10 from the same set.
Yeah.
And I believe they gave him options, and they gave him options. I mean, they already got the money for the product, so they should think of it as kind of like a long-term investment. They have to somewhat fulfill this if they're still a company. Now, if like Panini went out of business or Topps, knock on wood that they don't, if they went out of business, then, yeah, you're screwed. But as long as they're in business, they should still honor the redemption. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yes. Honoring it, to me, it's like a gift certificate expiring. It's like when you buy a gift certificate to Target, it shouldn't expire. Like you said, unless the company goes broke. Like it's a way for them to steal money from people. It can't even be legal. Like I don't even think it's legal. Like that cannot, you know, it just doesn't sound right.
You know, and it is going back to gift certificates and gift cards and stuff like that, they just start charging you after time to where it'll take your balance down to nothing. But at any given time, at least in California, say if you have a $100 Target gift card and you go in and you're like, I want to redeem this and I want to get cash, they can't tell you no.
Yeah.
They're gonna give you crap about it because they don't want to do that. But they can't basically say, look, we have your money and you can't get anything for it. If you demand and say, I know that I can get cash for this, they 100% of the time have to give it back to you. They're going to tell you that they can't, but they, at the end of the day, they legally have to give you the cash.
Yes, that's actually right. Yeah. I worked at Target, and now they have a – the way the Target system works is if you try to cash out a gift certificate that's under $10, it will, like, lock the system, and you got to do all this crap. So what I would do, actually, is I would split – so somebody who wanted to cash out their $20 gift card, I would put it on, like, three different gift cards and then cash them all out separately. That's a little trick there for Target employees out there who don't want to call their manager on a $20 cash out. Split the gift card into three $8, whatever, $7 gift cards, and then cash out all three, and then you're fine. So a little tip there for the Target employees.
One more point on redemptions. Does Upper Deck use, like, a dot matrix printer on their redemptions? Like Jesus Christ. I mean, I thought, like, maybe it's because I don't open a whole lot of Upper Deck, but we opened up a lot of the 07 Ultimate, and I thought the ink was faded because it was old. But we just opened up some SP Game Use from 12-13, and it was, like, the same thing. Like, you literally – I mean, my eyes are not going bad, and I have to, like, sit there and, like, get it, like, right to my eyeball to make out, like, what it says on the card. It's, like, ridiculous. I don't get what they use. Like, it's, like, invisible ink or something.
No,
I
swear they use, like, a rubber stamp with ink.
Yeah.
And they just and, like, the ink pad – They've been using the same ink pad since, like, 1993, so, like, they're running out of ink. Somebody needs to get them a new ink pad.
Jesus Christ. it's like, ridiculous. And then we had somebody scratch off the code, and the code underneath was faded just as much as the printing on the card. Yeah, it was like a guy got a Ryan Nugent Hopkins auto from 12-13 SP Game Use. He sent me a picture, like, can you help me with this? Because I can't do anything. He's like, can you help me? I said, you know, I'm pretty sure I've never had to contact Upper Deck customer service, but I'm sure there is something. And it was like, God, I mean, it's like the worst printing ever. I mean, that's one of the things they need to work on there. It's like the crazy printing.
The attention to detail, man. Attention to detail.
Exactly. And, you know, I think we've talked about this before. Maybe it's a case breaker talking. This is the last thing I'm going to say about redemptions before we move on to Panini case breaker agreement and prime football. But why can't they, like, print, like, okay, so say you do a Sandy Koufax, like, auto. Why can't they print a fake-looking Sandy Koufax auto, like what it's supposed to look like on the redemption card so you can get at least excited about it? Like, I'm tired of this, like, blue paper with a computer in the background with just writing on it. Like, can't we, like, actually print a photo of, like, what the card's supposed to look like with, like, we all know what Sandy Koufax auto looks like. They can Photoshop his signature in there and put redemption across it. And, like, at least when you pull it out of a pack, or if you're doing, like, you know, we do, everybody does case breaks now online, you can show it and it actually looks like that's what it's going to look like. Like, why can't we change to that? I don't know.
That's a hell of an idea, Doug. Groundbreaking.
It is. I should charge.
It is.
My set's going to have that, by the way. My set is going to, my redemption is going to be like that, by the way. So I have myself on the back.
No, it's just going to, yeah, it's going to have a picture of Ryan. He's going to be giving everybody a thumbs up.
I'm going to, like, cross pump myself, like, on the redemption, like, stick out my middle finger, like, ha, I got you, like, redemption. Good luck with this one.
or a middle finger, right?
Yeah. Either one. Yeah.
50-50. Yeah.
50-50.
Not to go off. Yeah, exactly. And not to go off on a tangent, but Beckett did a on who was the fastest or best with redemptions. They did a poll, and you guys may know where I'm going with this. Panini obviously won, you know, best with redemptions, but there was, like, some guy on Twitter that said, well, Heroes of Sport only takes 3 days with their redemptions. Best in the business. I'm like, okay. Well, that's because they're, like, full-size things that they already own. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, of course they are. That's like, you know, yeah, it's like they already have them in hand. It's not waiting on an athlete to sign them. I was glad. Somebody replied to it saying, well, I think it was Chris Olds who replied to it and said, well, that's kind of a buyback company. That's kind of a different scenario. And the guy's like, well, still, 4 days, best in the business. So I'm like, well,
it's like being the best drug dealer. Like, do you really want to be the best at redemptions? Like, it just seems like kind of like, you know, you're patting yourself on the back for being a basically an idiot, for not doing your job and getting the cards in the set anyway. Like,
right.
You know, so not that, you know, and I think Panini does do a good job. I think I only have, I think I had about 8 or 9. I think I still have one that, I don't know. I think the guy sucks, so I'm not that worried about it. But I think I have one card left that I haven't got yet. So I think they have done a good job. I like the Flawless didn't have any redemption. I was like, man, this for $1,500, there better not be any, you know, redemption cards. So good did that work out. But it's not that hard to beat Topps at the redemption game, that's for sure. And Upper Deck, I don't think people open enough of it to really give a crap about it. So, you know, I guess here's the sport, though. The champions
yeah.
of the
number one.
The champions of the redemption game.
Well, I did want to move into the authorized case breaker from Panini. Panini rolled out. Panini's rolling out MAP again, and then they're rolling out this case breaker agreement thing again. We signed up for it when we started, but they kind of retooled it a little bit, and I've heard rumors that they're not going to let that many people be authorized case breakers. But apparently you have, like, I think we already had to have this in or something, but you have to put your website and your name. I think you have to give firstborn child name, what car you drive, license plate, what you had for dinner. No, it says, basically, I pulled it up, and it's common knowledge. You can search and find it. It wants to know your primary authorized distributor. It wants to know how many years you've been in business, your website, such and such, how many case breaks you host, where's your streaming service, do you use Ustream or Vaughn, how many times do you break Panini product, whoop-de-whoop. Now, here's where it's going to get a little tricky for some people. A copy of your state business license, a copy of a sales tax permit, a copy of your most recent sales tax, and a copy of a lease agreement, that's kind of funky. A copy of a lease agreement? I mean, we have an office, so, I mean, that's no problem. But what about the people? I guess we would just submit your rental agreement.
First off, I'm going to interject here. They don't want a copy of our lease agreement. It's like 180 pages.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
That's.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead. I'm sorry, but I think I'm gonna skip that. I'm not gonna attach 180 pages to an email and let it fly. That'll take like 2 days. So we're gonna go ahead and skip that one. And I'll take like a picture of it or something. I don't know, but it's yeah. I mean, I it's I think it's a good thing. It's definitely protecting their product. It's protecting the margin. It's protecting group breakers, and it's protecting hobby shops. It's not a bad thing. I don't know how it came about. I don't know if there was a group of people who were complaining about not making enough margin, or because obviously the first time they released MAP, it was backlash from the hobby shops who were like, we can't compete with the online retailers. We can't compete with the group breakers. So we need some kind of protection. That was the time they did MAP. The second time, this is more directed towards group breakers. And I don't know if there was a certain amount of group breakers who were complaining to Panini saying that, hey, we're not making enough margin, or you're not protecting your product. Isn't it only like a 15-day MAP or something like that?
Yeah, and it's got to be 20% over cost. So it's a 15-day MAP. So whether you sell boxes or you break cases, say a case was $600 for a case, that was your cost, you need to make sure that you're making at least $120 on that case.
Yeah.
Minimum. So, I mean, it gets a little tricky when you start dealing with the Flawless stuff, though, because then if you're talking about, you know, a 20% margin on a $3,000 case of Flawless, you're trying to say that we need to make $600 on a case of Flawless.
It's the wholesale map.
That's a little...
The wholesale map.
Yeah, wholesale map. So, yeah, it would be... Yeah, it's a wholesale, so it would be, you know...
Well, that's about
$3,000,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, yeah, it's close. So they're saying you need to make, I mean, I guess that's an exception, but they're saying you need to make like $500 on a case. Now that's a lot. I mean, we don't make that much on a case, so that's a lot of money on a case. I don't think it needs to be that high. Maybe there's exceptions on, you know, higher end products that exceed a certain amount. It doesn't need to be 20%.
It can include shipping. The price can include shipping, though. So if you've got 30 people paying, you know, $3, $4 shipping, that's another, you know, $120, $150 right there. To get above 20%, you can include shipping. But you're right. It shouldn't matter on most products. But yeah, I guess maybe on a thing like Flawless, like you're not going to make $500, $600 on one case. You know.
Well, I mean, here's my concern: is who's going to police this?
Yeah.
Who's going to go through it? Like, we do a lot of breaks, but we do a lot of breaks team style. Are you going to go through like all 30 listings to find out if we're making a 20% margin on it? I mean, that's a lot of work.
Yeah,
I mean,
I bet that's not what they're too worried about there. I think, and you know what? I was looking at the numbers and I was like, It seemed like it would be hard to be under that amount.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it would actually be hard to be under that amount because you're splitting it up, you know, usually 25 ways on a group break plus shipping for 25 different people. And it's a lot more, you know, the thing is, you know, it's a lot more time-consuming and expensive labor-wise to do a case break than it is to just sell a case to somebody. You sit their orders on the website, you know, like a blowout card, where you just put it in the box, putting it in another box, and shipping it to them. You know, it could be toilet paper at that point. So I doubt Panini's going to be too, like, strict about pricing.
Well, and just to be And to be devil's advocate, what me and Ryan talked about off air, and I think me and Dan have talked about off air as well. I mean, how are they going to stop, like, Johnny Boxbreaker from buying a case from Blowout or even his local card store and stuff? I mean, let's face it, a lot of times Blowout pricing is close to what math is, so or wholesale. So he buys his case, he gets it in, and if he pre-buys it, he could probably have it the day of release if he gets it from Blowout. And he sets up on Vaughn or Ustream and sells this case of Panini. What are they? Are they going to contact Vaughn or Ustream and tell them to shut the feed down? Or I mean, how are they going to stop somebody like that from doing it?
That's what I was wondering. That's what I was. The whole thing I was unsure of because I was like, why can't I just get a case from, you know, one of their kind of offbeat distributors who has every single product that comes out for about the same price as everybody else, if not lower sometimes, or, you know, and get a case and do a box and do a group break. And I'm not an authorized case breaker. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any barrier for that. That's the only thing that I wasn't really sure on with the whole announcement. I get why they maybe want to. You know, I think it actually kind of sets people who will become an authorized case, I think kind of sets them apart. It kind of says, like, hey, here, I hope they put a link on the website. They're like, hey, here are our 15 or whatever authorized group breakers, case breakers. Go check out their website. See what here's all the Panini stuff they're going to open. I hope they do something like that.
I just came up with an idea as you were talking about that. What if they actually had to, like, maybe if there was a problem, like, say the redemption didn't get fulfilled or it was an old redemption or something like that, if it wasn't from a Panini-authorized breaker, maybe they won't redeem it. Or they won't help them.
I could, yeah.
At the end of the day, though, that's their product they're not standing behind. It doesn't really matter who opens the box. I mean, you could very easily say, well, I went to my card shop and I opened up the box. And I mean, how are they going to know for sure you did a box break on it?
Right. I mean, unless they
the whole deal to me, like, it's a ton of gray area, and it just seems like they came up with this just to satisfy maybe some people who are complaining about what was happening.
Right.
And I have a feeling it's probably not going to be policed at all.
Which wasn't us, by the way, if you're wondering. We do a lot of complaining, but we don't complain.
It was Doug when he was in Hawaii. He was like, you know what? I'm going to start complaining.
complain. Wah, wah. It was like Charlie Brown. I called up Tracy. Yeah. I called up Dave. And I was just like, you know, your product sucks.
Yeah. That's the first thing you do when you got to Hawaii. You stepped off the plane, you got the little laying around your neck, and the first thing you thought about was, damn, I'm going to call Panini right now and start complaining. I guarantee you that was the last thing on your mind in Hawaii. Like, I know your wife probably would have slapped you, too, if that was the first thing. If you were on the phone the whole time, too. Like, let's not kid
ourselves. Yeah. She already slapped me for trying to watch a flawless break. I was sitting there on the deck, which we had a nice little pool. We were right on the beach. So I had I was right on top of Waikiki Beach. So I was looking over my little deck of Waikiki. I was sitting there with my Wi-Fi thing watching Dan break flawless. And I tried to get it in. She was just getting up, you know. Because it was 7 a.m. there, and it was 10 when Dan was starting. So she was just getting up. So I just popped out real quick, you know, a little beer in hand, you know, at 7 a.m. at Thai Rock, and I was watching some Flawless, and, you know, I got a little like, what are you doing? Oh, you know, I'm just looking for places in Hawaii here. I act like I was typing, you know. But, yeah, I had to see what Flawless was all about, and I got the stink eye for that. So, yes, if I was on the phone with Panini CFM during a luau, I'm sure I would have gotten slapped. Well, I don't know. Our relationship doesn't work that way, but in sort of a sense, I would have got slapped. So, but speaking of Hawaii, I did want to give a shout-out to Paula Sports Cards. If you're ever in Oahu, Honolulu area, I took a trip down to Paula Sports Cards. So that's how cool my wife is. She was okay with that, going to a card shop over in Hawaii. And I checked out. I bought a couple boxes from her. Just a super cool lady. She's in her 50s. She's been doing it for a little while. Great, great shop, a lot of product, good prices. You know, I talked about the industry for about an hour with her and stuff. We talked about boxes, woes, and stuff like that. But she was also into real estate, so she didn't really care about the card shop as much because she had another income source coming in. But just really, really kind of a fun person. And if you're ever in the area and you want to talk shop and you want to check out a card shop, it's a place. It's a great place.
I've never been to Hawaii. I think it's my turn.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I'll make sure you go when Flawless next year comes out. So if you want to plan that, so.
Sweet. Well, I'll let you open up Flawless tomorrow. You could open it up.
You guys join
us.
I'll be excited.
Greatest product ever.
Greatest product ever. Besides Ryan's like super crazy,
but that's
awesome,
right? Right. That's
awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, nothing else will be even close. I mean, yeah, we shouldn't even really be talking about it. We should just let the product speak. They're gonna speak. The product's gonna speak for itself.
That's right. And all you can do right now is just pay $10,000 for 20 spots to Mojo Breaks PayPal. So go to their website. And all you get is $10,000 a spot. That's all we can say right now. We can't give any more details about the product until we have your $10,000. So make that commitment today, guys. Go to
MojoBreaks.com. 6 months later. 6 months later.
Just take
tentative
release my word.
I'll get tentative updates every couple of weeks about this. You know, I got to go on vacation in a couple of weeks, so it's not going to be anytime soon. So, but pay your $10,000 now. We'll hopefully release some information about it soon. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, if you guys just want to put your credit card number in the chat right now.
Yeah.
We'll take orders.
Social security number, too. Can you leave your social security number as well? Thank you.
Well, I did want to prelude to next week's show. We're actually going to have Firehand is going to be on next week with Irving. So Chad and Irving from Firehand Cards are going to be joining us next week. Just see how they're doing, talk about some of their bigger hits, how they got started, and both them and themselves with Mustache Monday and and Chad and stuff like that. It's going to be a great show with the, you know, the characters that they are and how much knowledge they have, which is probably more knowledge than me when it comes to cards. So, and Dan, for that matter. And then we're also going to be
Speak for yourself, man. Come on, killing me over here.
And then Mojo Break, our new website design will be launching on Monday, hopefully, as long as there's no hiccups. We have a brand new website design, mobile friendly. You can like go on your phone and you don't have to pinch it, and you can actually check out through your phone a lot easier. It's like we're getting into the 2010s, you know. We're a little behind, but we're getting a mobile friendly website, and it's going to be nice and clean.
It's going to be hosted by GeoCities, right?
Yeah, Homestead.
Find us on Netscape and MySpace.
So it's going to be Mojo Break / GeoCities / San Jose sportscards.com. It's going to be – make sure you bookmark it because it's going to be hard to remember.
It's going to be like 85 characters. But so that should be good to look forward to next week. We got to give something away. We got to give a spot in prime football for tomorrow. We got to give a spot away, and I don't know how to give it away. Does anybody have any ideas? I mean, what do you guys think? How about this? You got to come on.
I got it. First one to pre-order the first spot in Ryan's product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. $10,000 commitment. Let's go, guys. I know you can do it out there. Hey, the greatest product ever. Period.
That's what it should say on the box. Greatest product ever. Period.
You've got to wipe your ass with Flawless cards. Like that's how great my product would be. You're going to look at Flawless like, oh man, I can use this as toilet paper now.
Oh, man. Yeah, so you got to pre-order Ryan's product to get a free spot, a $30 spot tomorrow. So I just need a $10,000 commitment.
Why don't they just come on and sing? I think they should come on and sing a 90s boy band song or something. That's the greatest football set ever.
Yeah, there you go. Top prime. Exactly. 2013 looks good. We were actually going to review it. We could do a quick review on it. But if you want to call in and show us your singing voice, and you get a free spot in tomorrow's prime 2013 case random, it's 347-855-8815. And if you call in to win, and you could sing whatever you want to do. Entertain us with your lovely voice. So
the funny thing is right now would be a good time to have, like, a cricket sample, because you know that's what's going to happen. It's just going to be crickets. Nobody's going to call in and sing, son. Unless it's going to be
never
me.
Know.
I'll bet you.
Right here. For prime.
You should, that should have been the question. Who's that band?
That's true. That would have been a good one.
And then I would have hung up and I would have called up and been like, sweet, free spot of prime for me.
All right, well, we have somebody to call in. So I'm going to be Simon Cowell here. I'm going to go ahead and bring on 305.
Congrats on the wedding.
Thank you.
I like the style. You didn't invite anyone. You just went and did it on your own, right?
Well, I actually got married locally, and then we flew to Hawaii. So there was about 80 people.
No, my best friend went out there and just got married. And he still hasn't had his party, and it's been 2 years later. It's like, dude, you should have a house party and people will get you a whole bunch of stuff, but
that's why we had it. I had people throwing money at me. Money dance. But no.
wait, there was.
Are you gonna sing us a song?
No, I'd brag about the Heat, but when the Warriors open their new arena out in San Fran, we'll all go to the game.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking
mark
about.
Mark it down.
That's gonna be a good arena too. AT&T. That's gonna be
right down the water. Yep. I mean, if they had to keep any team in Oakland, I guess you guys would have rather kept the Niners, but whatever.
Well,
no,
the
Raiders,
I'm a little happier.
I wish the Niners would have moved to London, personally, but you can only dream.
Well, maybe your Rams will move over to London.
No, I think the Rams are going to move to L.A. If the Rams move to London, I'm out, guys. I'm going to England.
Well, Trevor, since you're so loyal, we won't make you sing. We'll get you that spot anyway for tomorrow's prime.
Great. Thank you, guys. Have a nice night. Welcome back.
Thanks. All right, you too, man. Thanks.
See you later.
Later. Dan, he said you could sing. I think that's one of the conditions.
Yeah, I'm not really into singing right now. My singing voice is a little shot, you know? But,
all right, instead, we'll play this for everybody, okay? How about this one? This is kind of like a song.
Let me clear my throat. This is the legendary DJ Kool. Big shout out to everybody representing MojoBreak.com. That's right. Look them up on the internet, man. MojoBreak.com.
Backslash GeoCities.
GeoCities.wordpress.com.
Dude, I remember that back in the day.
He almost said, look us up on the interwebs. That would have been funny. Look us up on the interwebs. I am
Look us up on the Google machine.
On the Google machine. Real quick, I mean, Prime, I think we said we were going to talk about Prime, so we can talk about that real quick. I mean, we had a lot of fun talking about Winger and Ryan's, like, mind-blowing new product, which will probably have a show in itself before release. We're going to have a show just on your product, so look for that.
I think we're gonna have a release party, but we're not gonna break anything there because it's only one box.
It's one box.
So we're looking for 20
commitments, guys. 20 commitments at $10,000 a pop, guys. Come on, I know you're out there. Let's go.
We're gonna have a release party. We're gonna invite everybody, but we're just gonna stand there and hover around the box and just stare at it.
Yeah. Super. There'll be strippers, cocaine, fucking weed, everything. We're going to have a big party on Ustream, guys. So come and get it. You can be a part of it.
In the sell sheet, you'll say, you may get cards that look like this. And it'll have William Rosario on there.
Yes.
You may get cards similar that look like this.
You're gonna get a card-like object. Maybe a card, maybe a ninja star. I'm not sure. Whatever, it could be in a box. Who knows?
That is all we can say until we get those commitments, guys. 20 commitments of $10,000. That's all we can really say at this point.
And then we will release the checklist after that.
Yeah, after the second, after we open the damn box, I'll see what was in there.
I don't remember what I put in the box.
Yeah,
but then we could do a Ryan Wave pack redemption. Like you say, send in the pack, you get like a special pack.
Hey, did you guys get your card? Because did you guys get your top star?
No, not yet.
No.
What? I got mine. I have mine. I have my cell phone in my head. I look like a fucking dork, but Top sent me the guy with the group or whatever. They sent me the cards. I got like about 20 or 30 of them. You guys didn't get yours?
No, I know they got shipped.
Oh, for real?
Oh,
yeah,
no,
I know.
Yeah,
we got.
I thought you were talking about Blue Wave. They may be at my house. If you got yours today, I had them ship it to my house just in case.
I didn't get any Blue Wave packs. I'm talking about the rookie, the cards they made of us at the rookie premiere.
So, how do they look?
They're a little cheap looking, but they're cards, and they say tops on them and shit, and I'm going to pass them out to my family at Christmas time, so they're going to be a little shocking. You know, the funny thing is on the back, I think they say you've received an autograph. They say that they're supposed to be autographed or whatever, and there is kind of like a little white border.
Nice.
Where you're supposed to sign them. I didn't sign any of mine. I think it says player's issue on it and stuff. It's kind of actually, I mean, they're nice. Like, it's cool. My family's going to dig them. I'm sure they're going to be like, what the hell are these? Like, why do you have your cell phone in your hand? So,
was it one pose or did they do multiple poses?
It's just one picture. I think they sent me about 20 cards or something. And
nice.
They're all the same. But they're nice. I thought they were kind of cool. I was like, wow, this is interesting.
To backlog the story for everybody that's listening, because we went to the rookie premiere. So if you haven't listened, we did a rookie premiere show back, 3 or 4 months ago. All three of us were at the rookie premiere taking photos and walking around with Geno Smith, Jordan Reed, all those guys who were at the rookie premiere. And then Topps had a photo shoot where they were going to make cards of us. And it's finally, just like a redemption process, we finally got them. So, that's pretty cool. So I might auto a few of mine and do them as giveaways. Not that anybody's going to want any of my mug on a card, but, you know, it might be kind of cool.
I'm putting mine on eBay.
That's a great idea. Oh, I'm on a number mine. The fuck is this? Like, what the hell? Like, I could be like Ryan Swolf. I just retired after this first year. I had a concussion. I'm done. Like, yeah.
That's pretty sick. I'm stoked to see that.
Yeah, I'm actually anxious to see if they're at home. I'm gonna walk right past my wife and go right and see if the mail came. I'm not even gonna say hi. I'm just gonna run to the mailbox.
Yeah, I bet you guys got him. I got him hella quick. Like, he sent me the little tracking number, and then the next day they were there. I was like, oh wow. So I bet he got him. I've been sitting there.
Yeah, I might be drive while we're doing the show. We can go down there. But. briefly talk on Topps Prime before we end the show. I opened a case yesterday. I think it's good. I think it's Zach's finest. I would put up as probably the two best football releases so far this year. I really like the look of Prime this year.
Cards do look nice. Cards, especially the little cards, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or whatever. They look really nice on the picture that I saw.
You know, yeah. I love the photography and Prime. I always do. I mean, I know it's a lot of the rookie premiere photos, like at least for the rookies. But, man, like full bleed cards, I'm still a sucker for them. I love them. The killer action shots and all that good stuff. The hits aren't that bad either. I mean, it's really rookie-based, but they actually have more veteran autos than I remember in previous years. So
yeah,
it's actually a pretty good value. I mean, some of the vet autos are a little funky, like Denario Alexander and guys like that. But, you know,
Josh, a vet auto.
We
got a Josh Freeman yesterday. I was like, oof. But, you know, they thought he might have been good this year. Who knows?
But I think it's a good value. You know, everybody's going to get some base cards and all that good stuff. It's, 10 packs, 4 hits. Like probably 5 or 6 cards per pack.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice value, and you get a chance at booklets that have autos and pieces of their wristband, which I think is the only product that has like a wristband in there. Maybe an NT might too. And overall, it's a great value, especially if you do a case break. Like, we're doing a case break for 30. We're only doing 25 spots, so every spot has a chance at a hit, plus the combo spots have chances of getting veteran base and stuff like that. So it's a pretty good value if you want to join in on that. We're doing that tomorrow for $30 a spot. We just gave one away to Trevor, so hopefully he gets a nice hit. But yeah, pretty nice. So I think we've got a couple minutes left, so we should probably end out the show here. But yeah, it was good to be back. You know, it was good to be back talking about cards again and miss talking to you guys. Well, I don't miss talking to Dan because I talk to him every day, but I miss talking to Ryan. And looking forward to Ryan's new product that we'll be cluing you guys in as weeks pass. So we'll tell you guys about that. And check out sportscardradio.com for any checklists or news or anything like that. And as far as tomorrow, if you want to get your flawless picks on, we got some spots available to hit draft, and it's $169 a spot, and you're guaranteed a hit. There's 10 hits in the box, so everybody's going to walk away with something. You know, if you get that first pick, you can get that nice, you know, $400 or $500 card if we pull a Kyrie, it's yours. So good way to get some value and a way to not get skunked if you do a hit draft. So, and triple threads tomorrow as well. If you want to get base, if you're a baseball fan, 9-box case of triple threads tomorrow. So
Not bad.
We just sold some basketball spots right now. So, you know, people are grabbing them. We actually have a few big customers. A few customers in the Philippines really getting down on the basketball. They really have a big following out there in the Philippines. So,
that's great.
Definitely. So that's pretty much as you know. Thank you guys. Thanks, Trevor, for calling in again, winning. You guys got to give Trevor some competition. He's winning them all, and he's getting some great cards. So tell your friends, listen to Sports Card Live. It's free to listen to Sports Card Live. So it's not free to buy in a box break, but you could win a free spot in a box break. So, but other than that, we're pretty much all set. Did you guys have anything else to say?
Nah, I'm good. I'm just stoked to be back on the radio show, and we'll be back Tuesday. Gonna have
Tuesday.
Having some guests, huh? That'll be fun.
We got Chat Truth17, who's been doing box breaks for a while. Chat and is Mustache Mondays Irving, which we met out at the National. I think we met met him both at the Summit for the first time, and then met him out at the National. Some good guys. We should make an entertaining show, asking them some questions about, you know, how they started and stuff, and, you know, getting a different opinion on cards. So that should be pretty cool.
Hell yeah, that's gonna be a good time.
Definitely. All right, guys. Well, we'll see you guys next Tuesday. Same bat time, same bat channel, and we're out. Peace.
Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by SportsCardRadio.com, MojoBreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.